right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you here on a Monday night. And we are, as always, waiting to take your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We had last week off, and I hope all of you have enjoyed the ends of your summer vacation and the beginning of the school season. And with that always comes the beginning of the football season. And everybody's in camp at this point in time. High schools, college, NFL, they're all hitting camp. The good news so far out of our major teams here in the area, the Indiana Hoosiers and the Indianapolis Colts, is there's not a lot of news. And that's a good thing so far, is because that's usually bad news at this stage of the season.
Yeah, that means no injuries yet. No catastrophic. Now, we had a pacer that driving 100 miles or 70 miles an hour in a 30 zone, but hey, Colts are clean.
Who hasn't done that once or twice or five times or something?
Yeah, I use clean for
now. Did
he
have any guns in the car?
You know, I don't think he did. I don't know. Did he? No, I don't think so. He didn't have his shirt on. That's all I know.
Oh.
No. Yes, our Colts and Hoosiers are clean right now, and we like it that way.
Healthy, at the very least,
yes.
is what we're understanding. And the Colts getting a little older with some of their free agent acquisitions, so a lot of questions there. But we'll talk some football tonight. We'll start with the Hoosiers and take your phone calls. 333-2665. A lot to sort out here. It's the beginning of year five for Coach Kevin Wilson. Last year, disappointing 4-8 after 5-7 in his third season. 5-7 record, coming very close to a bowl season with just a couple late game mistakes that cost him, particularly the Minnesota game here. But 4-8 with Nate Sudfeld going on down in the Iowa game. Chris Covington also going down in that game. But let's be fair, Chris Covington wasn't going to lead this team to an 8-win season either. So once you lost Nate Sudfeld, this team was pretty well cooked. But, you know, look, what comes out of this a lot of times, you get into year five of a rebuilding situation and everybody starts hammering on what you've got to do and what you don't have to do, or, you know, all these things to keep your job. You've got a 7-year contract here for Kevin Wilson. They're talking, is he going to lose his job if he doesn't make a bowl? Is he going to get a contract extension? Nobody really knows at this point in time. We'll kind of talk about all of that tonight. But I think what you've got with this team right now is you've got a lot of potential. You've got a young team still. You have some veterans in some key spots. You get Nate Sudfeld back. You don't have a deep quarterback position at this point in time, but you know, at the very least, you've got a little bit more experience than you do there. It's a season that has a tough schedule in some ways. It's got an easy schedule in some ways. It's not a simple schedule like last year was. I think there were a lot of things that worked in its favor last year that it doesn't have. But Terry, it's got at least a chance here, and it's got to get to 6 wins, you know, to be a bowl team. I'm not sure a bowl team is a necessity for Kevin Wilson to keep his job. I think that'd be a little nuts, honestly, at this point in time, if you see all the other things that are going on. But at the very least, you want to see some more positive things than we saw last year after Nate went down. Although, to be fair, very fair, the team bought into everything they did when Nate went down. They did not turn on him. They did not fall apart. You know, they struggled on the field, but they continued to play for the team, play for the coaches, play for themselves. They never gave up, and I think that's a key point to why you look at year five and not say there's got to be a hard a record or a hard goal that has to be met to look at year 6 or 7 even happening.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, those guys did not get what we couldn't. Offensively, we couldn't get anything going. I think the defense was marketably better last year. Now, maybe going from 120 rank to 93 is not marketably. I saw a better defense playing in the games that I saw, which were all of them, a few in person, and they did come together. So I think as a group, these guys, they've bought in to Coach Wilson. You know, that's lip service, I know. But for us not to get blown out in every game after Sudfeld gets hurt was a testament to those kids leading the eventual national champions late. Should have had a win against Minnesota, Penn State. You know, beating Purdue last year was nothing. Thank gosh, you know, it was home because they were awful also. And I think we easily had a 7-win team if our quarterback doesn't go down. I mean, I just don't think there's any question in my mind. Anybody who's watching it, unless you're just the eternal pessimist, would have to agree that that was a much better team than 4-8. And yeah, this is not a definite 6-win season. I mean, the defense has to continue to improve. We'll get into some more other things you know, this morning we're talking about the receivers. All of them are a year older. We've got a couple of a transfer in from UAB that may be the best receiver we have. We got a freshman that's good, and then about four or five other guys that have got experience now. They can't drop passes like they did last year, and they're going to have their best quarterback throwing them to them. So we'll see. No, I don't care if they don't go to a bowl. He needs to stay. I mean, firing him this year, after this year, if they don't go to a bowl, it's just two steps backward, in my opinion.
333-2665 is our phone number, and let's at least allow the possibility that everything falls apart and they finish 2-10. That would be a little bit different. I think we all see at least some degree of a trajectory in the right direction. I always go back to the history of Indiana football, and I've got at least several years of these that are closely ingrained here with my thought process. So I look at where history is, and a 4-7 program is what Indiana is traditionally. Last year, I think they were better than a 4-8 team is what they finished if they had Nate Sudfeld. Now, there were several issues with the team, and I'll go into some of them here in a little while. The defense improved. The defense had nowhere to go but to improve. I mean, when you're ranked 115th, 120th, whatever it is, out of 125 teams, there's pretty much only one way to go, and they did not go so dramatically. And I'll explain my thinking on why people need to get over the defensive quote-unquote improvement last year. It was at least as much the offenses that they faced being much lousier than they played, and I've got the statistics on that here in a little while. We'll talk about that. But before we go any further, I mean, it's Nate Sudfeld. I mean, that's what it comes down to last season, and you hate to put it all on one player, but a quarterback is so important, and it's not as though the quarterback who came in, Xander Diamant, did a poor job. He did a poor job. He wasn't expected to be playing or even seeing the field at that point in time. The quarterback situation came down to really, in my opinion, the way they treated the other quarterbacks ahead of them and the fact that, quite honestly, they had options, first of all, and they had experience and desire to play and saw that Nate Sudfeld was going to be the guy. So there was a number of kind of selfish decisions on a number of different people's part that got you into a position that only gave you one quarterback that was a Big Ten quality last year, and Nate Sudfeld. Those started, I think, with the coaches a couple years ago when, quite frankly, to whatever degree they saw on film and in practices and all those sorts of things, that Nate Sudfeld was the guy they wanted to be in charge for a variety of reasons. I think they're good reasons, but they were pulling people, putting people in back and forth with these guys. What they did in doing that is they created uncertainty on the parts of the players. Some people will argue that's a good thing because it keeps you sharp because you're competitive. Other people would argue that you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to come next. And quite honestly, you don't know if your next step is going to be treated fairly or not, at least in your mind as a player. I think you can go with all of those situations. But what it does do is, at the very least, it has the quarterbacks in a situation where they don't know what to expect. And in my opinion, a quarterback is the last spot that you want them to be where they don't expect what's happening. Running back, okay. Wide receiver drops a pass. Yeah, absolutely. Get out. Quarterback. We saw Tevin Coleman get yanked because of fumbles. In my opinion, he should get yanked if he fumbles the ball too often. Now, he didn't do that very often after that.
No.
You keep him in there and he rushes for 2,000 yards and he learns a lesson. I mean, that's the point. Quarterback's a different position. So the coaches, I think, set up some of that situation. Also, they had guys that had options. Trey Roberson was the surprise, of course, leaving. But he had some options. He had some skill and he had a lot of experience. He wanted to go have another one. And it just so happened that Cam Kaufman had one last year and as a senior could transfer out and go somewhere. Actually, he had a red shirt anyways. But he had, he wanted to play and he knew he was the third guy because he was getting messed around altogether. So there's a couple different things that work their way in there. But it's partly selfish on the coaches and the way they treated him. It's partly on the kids who had options and wanted to make sure they took advantage of themselves. It left you in that situation last year. And they weren't ready for the one thing that couldn't happen. There you go. Middle of the season, it happened.
And if Trey Roberson doesn't break his leg 2 years earlier, Sudfeld would have been redshirted that year because obviously
exactly
Roberson
right.
and Cam Kaufman were the two quarterbacks
exactly
that
right.
were getting most of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to put him in there
yep.
also. So, you talk about perfect storms that led us back to a 4-8 last year instead of possibly a little better. I agree with you. I mean, it came down to one guy, and I hate that you put yourself in a position that one guy is going to kill your season. But hey, We'll talk more about him and quarterbacking when we come back.
That was the one spot they couldn't lose, and sometimes luck is just not in your favor. We've seen that a lot with IU football. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is your phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming note, we got Reds baseball most of the week. Tonight and tomorrow, they are in San Diego. They're all West Coast, so 10 o'clock late nights here for the Reds. Got Wednesday night off, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 10 o'clock on those nights. Saturday will be 9 o'clock as they face the Dodgers. I noticed the entire Western Division seems to have come east and taken sweeps. So your Dodgers
Wait
got
minute,
their butt
it's been swept. It's what? Yeah, they've taken sweeps, all right.
Taken
been
it on
swept.
The chin.
The
the
idiots.
Cubs got the Giants. The Dodgers got swept
well,
by the
The Cubs did exactly what
Pirates.
I asked them to do, and we didn't
help
do
you
anything.
Out and you didn't do the
idiots.
Other.
We're still in first place.
You
by
got
three
a chance
games.
Against the Reds later right. this week, but tonight 10 o'clock, Reds are in San Diego. And also should let you know, go to WGCLradio.com as the beginning of football season means beginning of football broadcasts. And we've added college football to our list this year and to go along with not only the Colts, but a lot of NFL football and, of course, high school football just a couple weeks away. So all of it there is on WGCLradio.com. Starts with actually started last night, but continues with the Colts at Philadelphia with a noon pregame preseason game this coming Sunday. 333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU football tonight as they have begun their camp coming off a 4-8 season last year. The big story, of course, of the season is Nate Sudfeld's injury at Iowa. And let's be fair about this. I mean, when you look at last season, we talked about it, of course, all during the season, but Nate Sudfeld did a fine job when he was in there, but really the only thing that was a great positive to that offense was Tevin Coleman. Nate Sudfeld was not bad by any stretch, but the offense, the passing offense in particular, was not anywhere near what it had been in past years. The offensive line was decent, at least, as you know, as decent as it's been under Kevin Wilson, so there's nothing really to complain majorly about there in the passing game, but they lost a bunch of playmakers, a wide receiver, a bunch of young guys didn't step up and didn't make the plays for him. And Shane Wynn, really the one of the few guys coming back, also struggled to really contribute. So, and then later in the season, of course, without Nate Sudfeld, you've already got an offense that's struggling to throw the ball with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And then he goes out, and what are you left with? You're not left with much. So it was a struggle the whole rest of the season. Started early, though. You know, they get through the first game against Indiana State pretty easy, but they go to Bowling Green. And this is a team that they blew out here in Bloomington the year before. And, Terry, I mean, the thing that stuck out to me about this is you make a change on your defense coming off a horrendous year in 2013 defensively, and they absolutely did nothing from the standpoint of strategically. They pretty much put a vanilla look out there and got shredded by a guy making his first start of his career at Bowling Green. That was a bad omen early
yep.
for this team. There's no question about that. Didn't know anything about Nate Sudfeld, but it certainly didn't say much about the defense early in the season.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, and one of the things on the defense, you have a new scheme. You're still trying to get some players into different positions. Like you said, we had nowhere to go but move down and get a better defensive ranking, be better. But that game in particular was one when I, right there, I go, oh, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
After all. And, Sudfeld wasn't doing anything for us particularly, and the defense did absolutely nothing for the first several weeks. They didn't really start acting like they were ready to play until about that Iowa game or the game after when we had no quarterback or had Diamont trying to do his best. And then all of a sudden, they make a few plays against some very good teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, that right there should have let everybody know that we don't have a big margin for error, and we'd already lost a game that we should have won.
And let's be fair, you saw this in back-to-back weeks for the Hoosiers on different sides of the field, to be fair, because I think the Hoosiers went into that game not taking Bowling Green and the trip to Bowling Green all that seriously. And I warned about it all during the preseason. That's a tough trip. I don't care how good or bad they look and how good or great you think you are. That's still a tough trip for a big, for a you know, lower level Big Ten team to have to make, and it turned out that way. Well, I think the opposite thing happened then the next week, is they went to Missouri. And Missouri sees us getting beat by Bowling Green on the road and doesn't think anything of us. They don't think anything. They're bad. They know they were just in the SEC championship game. They don't think anything of us. And to IU's credit, they showed up to play finally, got their attention to that Bowling Green game, and started on the defensive side using some of the blitzing schemes that I think you expected to see early. I understand why they didn't use that at Indiana State and maybe at Bowling Green. They're holding on to it. They're trying to get the scheme right. They certainly want to save something for Missouri. Problem was, it bit them in the butt at Bowling Green. But to the credit and to the players' credit, because they played their butts off, they ended up using it against Missouri and really caused some problems, because they showed a bunch of looks at Missouri, a team that offensively was not anywhere near the team that came into Indiana. The Missouri team was a 13th-ranked scoring offense in the NCAA the year before, with wide receivers and the quarterback that was there, James Franklin. They were down to 67 under Matty Mauk. He's a flashy guy. You know, Johnny Manziel runs around a whole lot, chucks the ball up in the air. But their offense suffered majorly last year compared to where they had been the year before. Now you throw some different looks at them, which is what the Indiana defense did, caught them off guard a bit. Gave up 27 points, but that's pretty good for this Indiana defense on the road against a decent, at least, Missouri offense.
Oh, an unbelievable road win by a team that doesn't win on the road. Historically,
yeah.
Indiana does not win many road games. So, and Sudfeld was on. Some guys caught the ball. And, of course, Tevin Coleman did his usual thing. For 27 points against that particular team, was still a lot of weapons back from the year before. I mean, they didn't have their quarterback, but they had a lot of other weapons, and they were on their turf. So, huge win there. And now, to me, the Bowling Green loss even makes me madder.
Yeah.
Because that should have been a flip-flop, and it should have been 2-1 record, but it should have been losing to Missouri where nobody would be upset about it. Now, we really had 3-0 stared in the face and didn't pull it off. So, you know, but that's the roller coaster that is Indiana football.
Yeah, and just to show you again, and this is, you know, we talk so much about the Nate Sudfeld situation, but this team was very roller coastery, because it came back the next week, only scored 15 points, gave up 37 to Maryland at home. And this is a nice Maryland team. It wasn't a great Maryland team. It had some veterans on the offense, no question. It did have a veteran defense. But that, I mean, that showed the one-dimensional nature of this offense in particular, even with Nate Sudfeld, a quarterback. And again, not necessarily his fault, but that offense was not a balanced offense last year at any point with Nate Sudfeld, much less after Nate Sudfeld went down.
Yeah, and as that was kind of surprising to me. And again, I don't want to throw all this on the young receivers, but he looked off also. He wasn't sharp. He wasn't hitting them in the position, in stride, or in the positions to make some catches. But when you see it, when we've seen some of the receivers that we had had over the last 3 or 4 years, that if it got near them, they were making the catches,
absolutely.
And that did not happen last year in some of
it
the games.
It was easy in previous years. When you had Cody Latimer and Kofi Hughes and Ted Bolzer,
Wilson
and Stoner made some plays, Wynn made some plays. It was easy then. It got harder when those guys weren't making those plays.
Yeah, well, we've got some decent size. We've got some, you know, we got a little bit of everything in that receiver core this year, with the exception of a lot of experience, except for the kid from UAB that's coming in. So we'll see how that goes. But we still have one of the elite quarterbacks in the Big Ten. I mean, you talk about Connor Cook at Michigan State, who's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And take your pick of JT Barrett or Cardale Jones from Ohio
or
State.
New wide receiver they have.
We can always throw Braxton back in there. So I would say that Sudfeld's the next one. This is, again, he's the one guy on this team we can't afford to get hurt.
Yeah.
Period.
No, it's the same story in that regard.
Exactly.
And the good news heading into this season offensively is that while you lose Tevin Coleman, you do bring back some experience on the offensive line. You bring up some younger guys on the offensive line to fill in a couple spots where maybe you weren't all that solid anyways. I mean, the story of Ralston Evans is a guy that we've watched for a couple of years. It's heartbreaking that he has to give up football. It was a nice player, would have been better had he not had the devastating injury he had after his first season. But you're bringing up some guys, you know, some decent talent. I mean, the Gardner kid committed to Ohio State and was there for a couple months over the summer before he had to leave the Buckeyes program. So, I mean, you've got some talent coming up. To me, the offensive line still becomes a huge key for this team, because if you can start to rely on that without the explosiveness of Tevin Coleman, then you become a team that can control the clock. And that to me, gives you a lot of benefits. Now, I know Kevin Wilson likes to chuck it all over and be fast and all that sorts of thing. You use those to keep people off guard, but you can also use the clock a little bit in the meantime. You bring in the running back Howard from UAB. This is a kid who had 1,600 yards, so I don't think your rushing game is going to take a huge hit. You've got some young running backs that are stepping up. But a lot of it is going to come down to, does the offensive line continue to improve? And, as you mentioned, the wide receivers. There are a lot of guys to pick from right now. There weren't as many to pick from last year, and they were all younger. The question is, who is it that's going to step up? There's a kid who committed to Florida, who transferred to UAB. He transferred here. He hopefully will be eligible to play. He's not yet. We've got a kid out of a junior college that came in. We've got a couple of young kids that are coming up through the ranks at this point. There's a lot of names at that position right now. The problem is, who are the names that are going to go out there, and are they going to get it done? This team got, and these fans got selfish, I should say, or maybe a little used to having the Kofi Hughes, the Cody Latimer, the Ted Bowles, or guys that would make those plays. Will these guys make some of those plays? Will they make the easy plays? Because last year they didn't even make the easy plays.
No, they better make some of the plays, or, you know, that therein lies the problem of another losing season if they don't. And this offensive line situation, at least to read the press releases and look at some of the things that I did today, he's got a lot of guys there, mm-hmm. and he's high on a lot of guys. Yep. And we've got a front line, probably our starters, that have been together now 4 years. Mm-hmm. And some of these guys are, well, all Big Ten caliber, at least a couple of them.
Well, at least three of them have been here 3 or 4 or 5 years. And then you've got some younger guys coming up. And like what I've always said about this program is you need time to build the program and to recruit this program properly. They're getting to that point now, and you're starting to see that. It's still young at certain positions. The offense will be better than it was last year. I feel awfully confident in saying that. We'll talk about the defense. Again, not highly ranked, so not too many directions to go but up. But we'll talk about the defense when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Programming notes, we got Reds baseball tonight, 10 o'clock, as they are in San Diego. We'll also have them tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. Also tomorrow night, timeout for sports with Joe Smith. He'll be here in the studio, and he will have behind the scenes at Indiana Athletics with the Indiana Athletics director, Fred Glass. Also have Golf Week's Lance Ringler to talk about the PGA Championship. The fourth major of the year starts on Thursday. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU football, offense should be improved. A lot of bodies to choose from on the offensive line and wide receiver. Nate Sudfeld is healthy, and we hope it stays that way because his team certainly can't afford an injury to him. But the defense, what about the defense? Everybody's high on the fact that the defense improved last year. I would hope so. This defense was ranked 120th or so in scoring the year before in 2013. When there are 125-some teams in NCAA Division I college football, it doesn't take a genius to tell you there's not too many directions to go from that spot. So going up the ladder is kind of expected when you start to gain a little experience.
And you being a numbers guy, of course, understood that.
Yeah, absolutely. So going up at all is not unexpected. A lot of people were very happy with the defensive play last year. Look, here's what I saw out of the defense last year, and here's what I know happened based on some statistics and some facts. The defense got more aggressive last year up front. The defense needed to get more aggressive up front with blitzing, and they showed a lot of different blitzing looks. That's one thing Brian Knorr put in, was a lot of different blitzes. It caught people off guard because no one's seen it before. That's good. I mean, you use that to your advantage. No question. It helped in the Missouri game. They didn't know where some guys were coming from time to time. It definitely helped in that game. Hurt in the Bowling Green game that you didn't use it.
Right.
Because you got shredded, but it helped. But a couple things there. First of all, the defense still wasn't very good. 90th, I believe it was, in scoring defense, 32 points a game, 33 points a game. It's still not very good. And you saw in the Maryland game, you saw in the Bowling Green game, you saw in the Iowa game, you saw in the Michigan game. They gave 34 points to Michigan, and I know it's Michigan on the road, but that Michigan defense offense was horrendous last year. It was not good. Penn State, Penn State was one of the worst offenses in the Big Ten, not to mention nationally. You only gave up 13 points, but again, it's hard for me to say it was a phenomenal defensive effort when you go up against one of the worst offenses in Division I football. 45 points to Rutgers. They played decent at times. They showed some aggressiveness. Here's what they showed me that gives me promise, is more athleticism. The problem is that athleticism is mostly very young. And on the defensive line, what they have is they have some young big players with some talent. However, they're young. They still haven't made consistent impacts, and they have not showed an ability to rush the passer and cause havoc up front without blitzing. Now, okay, you throw some blitzes out there. You throw looks at them. You want to do that anyways. But you can't rely solely on that. You've got to be able to get some kind of pressure from your athletes up front without always blitzing, or what is now a very young secondary is going to get exposed all the time. And that's the last thing you want out of a young secondary. It happened last year with a veteran secondary, and they got shredded.
Yes.
What's going to happen with a younger secondary is the question. So
I don't have the answer to that. you and I often have discussions about the way our defensive backs go after passes and don't go after passes, and we'll leave that until the season starts.
It's a sore point for you, yes.
It is a little bit. I get you. Your point is well taken, and we won't even go into this until it happens again in the games a few times, and I fill in for one of you, and I'll rant then. But no, athleticism off the charts, I think. We've got some big kids that are going to be DBs or safeties. I've always liked Chase Dutra. I mean, he is just, and I think moving him to free safety is probably the smart move, and just let him be a headhunter back there. He'll be fine. I like Rashard Vance. I've always liked him. He's fast.
Need more out of that kid. Four-star, need more out of that kid.
It's time. It's time. So there's a couple of guys that I think are going to be starters, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Wilson, one of his releases from the press media day the other day was that Dutra's stepping up and wanting to lead.
Good.
And so good. I mean, but they're still, I mean, I'm looking, maybe redshirt sophomore, redshirt sophomore,
very young, especially
freshman,
back
sophomore.
Seven. Yep, absolutely.
So we'll see how it goes. We might as well, if we're going to be more aggressive and you know people, there's four or five teams that got quarterbacks to throw on us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just throw the youth out there, and in a couple of years, hope they've figured it out. And the next guys behind them are more athletic and maybe continue. Because we've had a few really good defensive backs here at this university, but we haven't had one for a couple of years.
333-2665 is the phone number. Of course, they moved to a 3-4 defense. It does a lot of different things, a lot of different looks, so it's not solely that. However, one thing I do like, and I talked about this before last year, the thing I didn't like about the lineups they were throwing out there was they have this bandit position, which is kind of it's basically, again, with a 3-4 defense, you got two outside linebackers. You want them to be a little bit bigger than other linebackers would be, a little taller maybe. But in this defense, they play them off a lot, so they've got to be able to cover out in space. And I did not like the guys who they put out there and their abilities in space. It just wasn't their best thing. And Mike Mangieri is a very athletic player for his size, but I did not like him having to play out in the flat as a large responsibility. It's not his only responsibility, but what have they done? They've moved him inside now. He's taken Bobby Richardson's spot at one of the defensive tackles. I'm very intrigued by that, because here's where he can use that athleticism against a guard and a tackle and maybe have an advantage in that regards. Now, the question then is, what do you put at that bandit position? It's Zach Shaw, it's Niall Sykes, it's a couple of these other guys that are on the roster. We'll just have to see what's there. This is a position, though, that I think you can find a, you can have a playmaker really shine in this defense. I think this defense is designed to have that spot make some plays for you, especially on a pass rush. So who is that guy going to be? Is he going to make those plays? I'm not convinced yet. Show it to me. You're going to have to show me somebody can do it there and make some plays at that spot before I buy into the idea that this defense is suddenly going to have a pass rush from that front four.
Yeah, and Zach Shaw, 6'3 and 250, a senior. Perhaps he can go out and make some coverages out there where Mangieri couldn't. But here's a senior that's, you know, I'm not sure how much he's played. I mean, I know he's
been
him.
In the rotations.
Yeah, he's been in a rotation, but now he may get thrown in. You're the guy. I mean, he is battling some people. But we've got to have an athlete there that I'd like to see somebody maybe a couple inches taller than him and about 260 that can run. Yeah. Now, we may or may not have him, but moving Mangieri to where they're moving him, he could really cause some havoc.
Well, what you're going to have to do, in my opinion, is if you want a guy that can cause some havoc at that spot, I think you just got to bite the bullet and go smaller.
Yeah.
And that's hard in the Big Ten with some power, you know, more power attacks that you're going to face, especially when you look at the Penn State and the Ohio State and the Michigan State. You know, it's hard for you to go small and just go strictly with athleticism. But I think this defense may have to do that if they really want to cause a havoc. Now, one of the things that was talked about by a lot of people, as we mentioned, was this improvement on the defense. And I want to throw some statistics at you, not to bemoan the defense, but simply to not get your hopes too high up too fast, okay? This defense should be better this year because it continues to gain some experience and gain a little bit of age. As you saw when you looked at the two deep or whatever it is, the roster is still a lot of young players out there. There was a dramatic difference statistically in the offenses they faced between 2013 and 2014. In 2013, they had one team in the top 10 scoring offense. In 2014, they had two. Now, that's the opposite of where I'm going here. But stick with that two number, because in 2014, they had two offenses in the top 30, same two teams. Two in the top 50, same two teams. In the meantime, in 2013, they faced seven top 50 scoring offenses. In the bottom half of the equation, 60 or worse in 2014, scoring offenses, 8. 70 or worse, 6. 80 or worse, 4. 4 teams last year were 80th or worse in scoring offense NCAA-wise that they faced offensively. The year before, they faced one team that was worse than 70th. That's the difference in the two. Here are the scoring offense ranks that I'm going to throw at you from 2013. 3, 13, 27, 28, 35, 46, 46, 61, 64, 69, 119. Purdue, 119. 2014, it was 5, 7, 51, 65. You're already past most of the teams you've played, and you're only four in.
Yeah.
67, 70, 78, 87, 96, 109, 112. It's a dramatic difference in the offenses you played. The Bowling Green team went from 28 to 51. Missouri went from 13 to 67. Michigan went from 46 to 109. Penn State went from 69th to 112. You flipped a couple spots here. Navy and North Texas, I threw those together. Navy was 35th. North Texas was 78th. It was awful on offense. Minnesota was 48th or 46th. Rutgers was 87th. Michigan State was the only team that had any kind of real improvement on offense, scoring-wise, 64th the year before, and got better as the year went on and scored a bunch of points on us. They were 7th last year, much better. Purdue actually jumped about 20 spots on offense, but they're still 96th. They didn't play good offenses last year, and the year before they did play good offenses. And they were bad in 2013, and guess what? They were bad in 2014. Don't dress it up like it's some great improvement.
They were just less bad.
They did something different. And here's the good news. When they were doing different things strategically, they got another year now where they've a year in their belts and another spring in their belts where they've done that. So at the very least, they should get better at it. And they're getting younger, or, you know, bringing up more players or getting more athletic. That's the biggest key, and I mentioned that before last year. They need more athletes out there, and they're starting to get that, and they're starting to get that with some depth. And the other thing we know is with the pace they play on offense, they better damn well have depth that can play because they're going to have to use a lot of it.
Yeah, and the pace we play on offense, if offense is humming right along, they're not going to be on the field that long. And a defense, whether it's, no matter what type of defense it is, you've got to have some backups because they're going to be right back out there in 2 or 3 minutes. I'd love for us to be able to occasionally have a nice drive. But even with last year with Tevin Coleman, all of a sudden he breaks a run of 70, 80 yards. I mean, and that's a run.
Yeah.
That's not a long pass to Kofi Hughes or somebody. That's just a run. So we'll see. Again, that's we'll see how that works. But defensively, you're right. If the depth isn't there at the pace our offense wants to play and the guys are going to be out there more, we've got to have players. Got to have them. Yep.
And I think the key there is there was an incremental improvement last year. Part of it was who they faced. Part of it was just getting a little bit younger, better, more athletic. Hopefully they'll have another incremental improvement. If they end up in the top 50, top 40, then you can talk about how great of an improvement they had. We'll talk, though, about the schedule and what it looks like when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, programming notes, you got Reds baseball tonight and tomorrow, 10 o'clock as they are on the West Coast, San Diego. We'll have them again Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 10 o'clock on Thursday and Friday, and 9 o'clock on Saturday, continuing that West Coast swing. And then tomorrow night, Joe Smith has time out for sports. He'll have behind the scenes at IU with IU Athletic Director Fred Glass. And also Golf Week's Lance Ringler to talk about the PGA Championship, which starts on Thursday. Glass will be back in on Wednesday. We'll preview that PGA Championship and probably talk a little Colts football as well. But, Terry, looking at the IU schedule, look, there's a lot of question marks about this IU team to begin with. And we went through several of them, and none of them are answered at this point in time. You feel good about maybe the numbers at the very least. I mean, you know, there's a couple injuries that are a little scary. You lost Antonio Allen because of his silliness and stupidity, but he's gone. You don't have any, I mean, you can't really do anything about that anymore. So there's a couple spots where you lose some players that hurts. Jayshon Harris was one of the few guys that was a bright spot at wide receiver, but even he had his problems. He's out for the year. You've got numbers there. You've got numbers in your defensive backs. You've got numbers at your linebackers. So there's numbers to choose from. It's going to be a little bit of a see what happens situation. It's impossible for you to think this team is going to go out there and win seven or eight games with that kind of hovering over their head. But I can look at the schedule this year and make the case for at least six or seven. And, you know, I'm going to go with six, I think, at the end of the day. You can write off Ohio State. You can write off Michigan State. You go to Maryland, and let's be fair, that's going to be tough. But outside of that, nothing to hear scares the living hell out of you. Southern Illinois, Florida International, Western Kentucky, Wake Forest. That's your out of conference. You could lose all four of those. You could win all four of those. That's the fact of the matter. You go to Wake Forest. Western Kentucky is tough. Florida International is going to have some talent. But you ought to start the season 3-0. And if you don't, then you got a problem.
No, I would agree. I mean, I can – six or seven. I mean, I can see five happening. But – this, I also could almost see eight wins, but we're going to have to play perfect. So I like a six or seven, and I think we may be six and six and be way better than a 6-6 team. I mean, it's kind of like last year. I thought we were way better than a 4-8 team, but we had the one guy we couldn't afford to lose. So if he stays intact and that big offensive line keeps him from getting hit,
mm-hmm.
I think six is easily doable, and seven's not out of possibility.
Wake Forest was not a good team last year.
No.
But that's on the road. That's going to be a similar talent team. I mean, people don't grasp this, but the Vanderbilts, the Wake Forests of the world, these are the teams that are in similar talent levels as to where we are. I think Wilson's got a head start on Wake Forest right now.
Yes.
Certainly on Vanderbilt, from their coaching change. But that's on the road. That's a tough one. I hesitate to put that in our category at this point in time. Penn State was one of the worst offenses in Division I last year, and defensively wasn't phenomenal, but they weren't awful. But you go to Penn State, and we've never won there. We've only beat them once to begin with. I think we can beat Penn State that I saw last year.
I do too.
They'll continue to improve. Christian Hackenberg will continue to improve. But the things that their sanctions really did hurt that program. I mean, there's a reason that we beat them here and their offense looked inept. And there's a reason that their offense looked inept here and a lot of last season. They're just kind of got enough individual talent at certain spots to challenge the teams like Ohio State and stuff like that. They're also just, you know, shallow enough as far as their depth is concerned for Indiana to stay within 6 points and make it a game. So, but I can't write that down. Not on the road. I can't write that down. You got Rutgers here. Look, Rutgers is not a world beater. Iowa is not a world beater. I think Iowa's in a lot better spot than Rutgers is, but they both come here. And I know everybody wants to talk about Jim Harbaugh at Michigan.
But they stink.
That offensive line wasn't great last year. They're still trying to find running backs, and they're coming in with a freshman quarterback or a young quarterback that hasn't played yet. The only good news there is I don't know that you can get a lot sillier at quarterback than Devin Gardner. So that might help them in that regards. But I just don't think year one with Jim Harbaugh is going to be some eight-game improvement or something like that.
That's a winnable game.
All three of those, are you got chances. You're not beating Michigan State. You're not beating Ohio State. I think Maryland's a tough one on the road. And Purdue, we beat Purdue the last 2 years. They're going to be fired up. I don't care what lousiness level Purdue is at. It's always going to be a tough game. But I think there are enough games in there that you look at to get to six, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's not a make or break, have to go to a bowl season. But I do think you need – it shows a lot of people – at the very least, you're still heading in the right direction if you get to that 6-6 number and end up in a bowl game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, this in a break or two, like you said, there's just Wake Forest, Penn State on the road. We're not going to beat Maryland there. I'm just going to come out right now and say that. The other two, we've got a really good shot, and I think we will beat Purdue. So, yeah, this team's got it's got some possibilities. We'll just see. Any talk of, like you said, unless all of a sudden we go 2-10 and it looks like the wheels have completely come off and Nate Sudfeld stays healthy, then Wilson could be in trouble. I don't see that. I just think the kids are working hard. They've been here. They know exactly what he wants. We've got way more athletes than when he got here. He, another good recruiting class, he which is 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that type of a bottom falling out. Next year when we're bringing in a brand new quarterback, who knows? Right now, I like where we're at. I like the 6-6, 7-5.
Well, and you lose Tevin Coleman, but I think the running game will be good.
We have two decent ones.
You have
ones,
lot of linemen coming back, and you've got some good running backs that are coming up behind him. I think you'll run the ball. Question is, do you catch the ball on the offensive side?
Yep.
And then defensively, just stop the bleeding. Doesn't have to be great. Stop the bleeding, and that's what it's been the last couple of years is bleeding. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then. Tomorrow night, Time Out for Sports here with Joe Smith. Also tune in for that. And stick around, 10 o'clock, Reds baseball tonight. We will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.